Good evening, everybody. I'm going to call this meeting to order. And Amanda, you got to mute your speaker.
No, I just turned my volume off.
Oh, whatever. So anyway, I'm going to call our meet. This is actually a public hearing. It will be followed by a special meeting of the Finance Committee. So the first thing on my agenda is I'm going to call our meeting to order and read the, you know, the call to the meeting. And then after that, I will summarize what goes on, you know, the budget, and then we will have separate presentations by the Board of Selectmen and by the Board of Education. So let me get started with the call. And then after we have all those presentations, I will invite, you know, public comment from those online and from those here in the room. So let me start with the call to order of our meeting. A public hearing on the proposed budget for the town of Bolton for fiscal year beginning July 1, 2025 will be held on April 22, 2025 at 7 p.m. following the Board of Selectmen's AP meeting and the public information session regarding the first selectman's salary at the town Bolton Town Hall located at 221 Bolton Center Road, Bolton, Connecticut. Copies of the proposed budget and ordinances will be available for public inspection beginning April 17, 2025 at the town clerk's office at Bolton Town Hall during normal business hours. Ross Lally, Chair, Finance Committee. So after that, I'm going to start with our just a summary and cut to the chase with the numbers, because I know that's what folks don't want to see. And so basically what we are proposing, we being the Finance Committee, which consists of members of Board of Education, Board of Selectmen, and three members elected at large, one of whom is me, that a total budget of $27,264,110. And to support this budget, the proposed real estate and property tax mill rate would be 35.27, and the proposed motor vehicle tax rate would be 32.46, which is the max cap that the state has set for us. And I'm going to skip the message from the Board of Finance, other than to talk just quickly about some of the drivers in this, because we get input from the Board of Ed, we get input from the Board of Selectmen. They do a rough budget, each side. And then the two different, you know, Board of Selectmen reviews it, makes cuts to what were presented by their department heads. Board of Education has a similar process where they get input from their department heads, have a first blush budget, and then they work to see what they can cut out of that. So there were significant reductions in both of those before they came here and presented, you know, then we developed this information that we're looking at. And so, again, what's driving some of these increases? We have contractual obligations for salaries and wages that, you know, are there for vendors and our employees. We have a significant increase in utility costs. And there's also unavoidable capital needs. We have a wonderful school buildings, fire department. We have a fleet of vehicles, the town uses. Town, when I say town, I'm not speaking Board of Selectmen, I mean everybody, because I don't like really dividing this up, because we're a tiny little town, there's one budget, and all of the monies for this come from the same place, you and me. And so, but when I say town, that's what I mean, all of us. And there's also been a decrease in revenue we get from other taxes, which is really like a $750,000 reduction in state funding. We're also anticipating that the interest rates will go down on our various monies. They've been drifting down a little bit already, and that's just nothing we have control over other than to, you know, bring our bank in, have a word with them. And it worked a couple of years ago that we got a significant increase when the rates were trending up, but now the rates are trending down, and it's more of keeping them from going down as quickly as they went up. So I'm going to go on to the second page, which is our proposed budget details. And we have to have a balanced budget. So when you look at it, you'll see that the expenditures for, fiscal year 2025 to 26 and the revenues, balance. And the way that we determine how much we will need in taxes is we first go to what can we do to reduce, our expenses and not be penny wise, pound foolish. For example, you don't want to go and get rid of people who produce income for the town. So, for example, we have people who go and get, unpaid taxes, they collect them. You don't want to get rid of somebody like that to say, I'm just throwing out numbers, say that they get paid $20,000 a year, but bring in 90,000. Getting rid of them doesn't really save you money. You lose the difference, which is $70,000. So we look at things like that, and we, come together with these are our expenses. And then we take a look at what are the revenues. And as I mentioned before, there were in shortfalls in revenues from non-tax sources. And so the way it works is we get the maximum sources of revenue we can from other people before we, other sources, I shouldn't say other people, from the state, from public grants, from the federal government. We look at all of that stuff, interest income. And after we go through that drill, there's money left that needs to come from someplace, and that comes from, basically it comes out of our pockets. And I say ours because I'm one of the people who pay the taxes too. And I'm on a fixed income, as a number of other people have mentioned, since I've, retired 4 years ago. And we look at this with this, and that's unfortunately. Fortunately, it comes out of our pockets. That's just the way this stuff works. We can't print money. We can't run a deficit the way the federal government does. We have to be more the way we manage our own budgets at home, which is you don't have the money, something has to give at a certain point. And that's what the balancing act we try to do here in the town. And it's not a perfect thing, and we can't make everybody happy, but we try to find out what is the best way to maintain the services that people expect, and try to prompt a discussion on that, which is why I'm glad that we have a nice turnout both online tonight, and in the room, so we can, have that discussion. So that's basically it for this. I'm not going to read the numbers on this. You folks can read as well. I'm just going to summarize at a high level what the process is. Board of Selectmen will go into more details on their part of the budget and so forth. So we have, mill rate history is next on page four. And you can see how the mill rate goes up and it goes down. And the thing to remember is if you already live in town, what's more important to you than the mill rate is how much you are actually paying in taxes, because your house can get reassessed at a higher value. We lower the mill rate, you still may pay more in taxes. Mill rates are more for if I'm coming in from another town, I want to know how much I'm going to pay on my taxes when, before, on that house that I'm going to buy or the cars when I move to that town. So again, keep that in mind when you look at this. And again, the mill rates sometimes reflect revaluations every 5 years. They also reflect how much income did we get from other sources before we had to dip into, the taxpayers' pockets. I'm going to go on to page five. These are some tax impact examples. Again, I'll let you guys do the math on it. And it's a straight line, the way the price, the amount of taxes increase. So if you have a car worth $5,000,
So
what?
we will be, so this was done by an intern, so do not look at the assessed motor vehicle values.
No, nope. Right.
It's not quite correct.
I
Because the
think
mill rate will be the same.
you didn't.
Chill reef.
Yeah, the mill rate will be the same, but we're going from 70% to 90%.
Of a different valuation, though. So
Well,
we can get into that later if people want to.
yeah. So the main thing to just be aware of is that if you'll pay twice as much on a car that costs twice as much. And it's the same thing on a house. The taxes that you pay on a $100,000 house are going to be half of what you pay on a $200,000 house and so forth. So you can estimate in between the, you know, the columns on here and come to how much, you know, the estimated taxes would be based on the proposed mill rates. And again, I don't want to talk about average. We've gotten yelled at for mentioning an average because there is no such thing when it comes to what you actually pay. Somebody, half the people will be paying more and half will be paying less, assuming that it's, you know, not a skewed curve. So I'm just going to go into what happens next. And again, there's opportunities for this budget to change. I'll give you some examples. We still haven't signed the contracts and found out, you know, done open enrollment for insurance. And so we will not know those numbers for a little while yet. We are still having our finances audited for not this year, last year. We have a surplus. We're not sure of the size of that. And we typically carry that surplus forward to cover, you know, part of our expenditures for this year. So it's always like a year behind. And that's in the process of being audited. So we won't know, we don't have those results yet. That can change. There's also some actions that the legislature is talking about taking, you know, regarding motor vehicle, you know, motor vehicle taxes and so forth. And again, we have to wait. We don't know what those are going to be. So again, what we tend to do is we estimate the expenses a little on the high side, and we estimate the revenue on the low side to be safe, so that if there are any changes, they're more favorable, like hopefully the expenses would go down and or the revenues up. So again, time, there's still an opportunity for things to change. And let's see, Finance Committee, and then we also get your feedback too from folks here. And just a reminder that if the budget does fail at referendum, it comes back again. We take a look at it. It can only be decreased based on the town charter. There's no opportunity to increase the budget. So effectively, if it fails, that's, you know, we come back, we have to cut something. And just to be aware of it, each referendum costs about $5,800. To set up between, you know, paying people to work at the polls, paying for the ballots, clean up afterwards, and so forth. And that's not including the time for the town staff that comes and helps with the setup too. This is purely just the poll workers and things that the registrars can quantify as expenses. We also have some other expenses from town staff who carries the equipment over to the polling site, and then they, you know, help us set up, and then they take it down. So that is it. And the rest of it is just some definitions of our capital budget, which is all the, you know, the monies, like I'd mentioned before, in, you know, repairs to the roof and so forth. Debt service is money that we have to pay for all of our outstanding bonds. So that's an ongoing cost. So again, that's something that we take into account, is try to keep the, you know, look ahead, see when those bonds mature, because that affects the budget as well. The fewer bonds you have that are still out there that we're paying interest on, the more opportunity we have to either reduce the budget or provide services within the same price range that we couldn't provide before. And a contingency is a small fund that is set aside for helping addressing shortfalls that can happen each year. It's unexpected things. It's not for planned things. And it's typically it's $50,000 we're proposing for this year. And that is it.
Ross, because the motor vehicle thing came up, can I just provide a little bit of context?
Sure.
So to go into why the motor vehicle chart is challenging this year, the state of Connecticut passed a law that allowed towns to assess vehicles based on MSRP instead of fair market value, is my understanding of how things operate. So historically, your car was assessed at 70% of fair market value. Now your car is going to be assessed based on a depreciation chart that's based on the MSRP of your car. So depending on how old your car is, the MSRP minus depreciation for how old it is. So we did change the range of the MSRP that we will be looking at from 25 to 85% of MSRP to 30 to 90% of MSRP, but hopefully it'll allow for more predictability as it relates to the valuation of your car, because historically, as you saw in the last 5 years, right, with COVID and the used car market, right, some of those cars that should have depreciated in value actually skyrocketed in value just due to the volatility of the market. And so that's where some of the changes are coming into play this year as it relates to how cars, motor vehicles are assessed.
And then
correct me if I...
No, and I was going to say in the future, the state also periodically talks about eliminating the motor vehicle tax completely, which would then mean that to get the same amount of money, you're not getting it from, you know, motor vehicles. It would have to come out of other properties, like, the, you know, personal property and real estate. So you shrink one bucket, the other needs to get bigger to take cover the expenses that we have to provide the services the citizens want. So I'm going to then. Do you want to go first, Ms. Board of Selectmen?
Absolutely up to you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, let's go and do the Board of Selectmen first.
Our presentation is on that computer, if you can bring it up for us.
Now I'm trying to close this one, which is really Amanda.
Yeah, you would struggle with that.
So let me go down here. This one, I'm going to go into. Here we go.
That's not it. You had the first one you had was correct.
First one?
Yep, you were there once.
Hold on, this one, correct? So let me go and share this before I go and put this up on the screen. So I'm going to share. Just this one. Share. Let me go put that one back up here and go back into this one. There we go. All right.
Thank you. So we wanted to start off by sharing some of the accomplishments of the Board of Selectmen. And here are some of the highlights from the last year. Projects that have been worked on, most of them are completed. There's the connectivity trail, the library and patio construction, improved town cybersecurity, demolition of the Notch Road Municipal Center, which is ongoing, the greenhouse removal at the Bolton Center School. That project is 100% completed. The Nathan Hale Greenway parking lot, which is newly finished and is on Stony Road. The drainage project at Warry Road, is all everything is done with the exception of the final planting and grading. The board created a new town hall construction subcommittee, which has met several times, and they'll be having an RFQ go out fairly soon. We have worked out a traffic enforcement grant. Board of Selectmen held a retreat and identified many of their goals for the upcoming couple of years. We've expanded shared services with the town of Marlboro, providing building official services there. And we've generated an ad hoc committee for the Herrick Park Steep Grant project. We are working on the community septic project and the Heritage Farm Trail project, which has an upcoming meeting, I believe, on the 29th, if I'm not mistaken, for a public informational meeting. Next slide, please. And here are the Board of Selectmen's goals. We've talked about community needs for a new town hall and community space, infrastructure with water coming off Route 44 for Manchester, attainable housing, DOT prioritization of Route 6 and 44. We're in the category of public safety. We want to address the fire department structure on staffing, having state troopers or considering regionalization of state troopers. And with the schools, we want to have more collaboration between the Board of the Board of Education and town administration, community communications, multi-board meetings and presentations. We have had a couple of those already and will continue those. Parks and natural resources. One of our goals is to increase use at Indian Notch Park, which is open for a very short period of time each year, and the Heritage Farm. Economic development, we're trying to create new revenue by attracting new businesses, and that ties back into the water line coming up Route 44 from Manchester which will help drive business development along that Route 44 corridor. We want to work with the Planning and Zoning Commission to simplify zoning regulations, potentially have more time with the Director of Community Development to recruit businesses to town. And under governance, we want the ability to apply for more grants. Next slide, please. And this is a pie chart. You know, for those of you here in the audience, it's probably hard to read, but it is a representation of our proposed $7,408,870 budget, which we'll get into in greater detail as we move forward, Mr. Chairman. And this is a graph that shows, a bar graph that shows increases and decreases in town budgets. And it shows both the percentage and the dollar values. And just for everybody's information, this will be up on the town's website tomorrow. Mr. Chairman, next page. And again, this is just a bar graph that shows the change in the Board of Selectmen's budget since fiscal year 16. It's been pretty even growth with a couple of years that actually went down a little bit. We had hoped that this would be one of those years, but unfortunately it's not. Next slide. So here is our information that's sorted by dollar value that really drives the changes in our budget. So personnel services, which is medical, dental, payroll taxes, and pensions, our increase there is almost $140,000, and it's going up 13.31%. Building and land use is going up $94,000, but that is offset by income from the town of Marlboro and a regional performance incentive grant. And in fact, you know, that we are at a point with shared services in the building and land use department that our building inspectors are not costing the town of Bolton taxpayers any dollars. They are all funded through other services that we provide to other communities. And that's their salaries. That doesn't necessarily include their fringe benefits, just for clarity. Administration is an increase due to the placeholder for the selected salary of $24,708. Insurance has gone up 11.23%. That's property liability and cyber insurance. Senior and social services is up $13,000 based on an increase in payroll. Tax collector is up $9,476. Also for payroll and printing and binding. Fire commission is up $8,577 for an increase in payroll, professional services, communications, and the proficiency fund. The library is an increase of $7,580, which is based on payroll increases. Town clerk is $4,547. Payroll increases, and the rest of them are all in all payroll increases. The assessor is $4,111. Fire marshal's office is $2,090. Public health is a contracted service with Eastern Highlands Health District. That increase is a per capita increase, and the total is $1,321. And the Conservation Commission is $835 increase for professional services and payroll. Next slide, sir. And this shows decrease. You know, we have a decrease in elections budget of $19,549. Decrease in the finance department of $11,479. Recreation of $6,000. And probate court of $476. So the total net increase in the selectmen's budget is $331,112. And is proposed for a 4.68% increase. Next slide, sir. And this shows you the biggest drivers that we've already talked about, but they're lumped into much bigger categories. Increases in salaries equal $168,996. Personnel services, which are medical, payroll, pension, dental, workers' comp, administration fees, that total is $139,987. Increases in maintenance, operations, and supplies. The big driver here is the electricity costs. Electricity, we locked in again for a long-term contract, but we are coming off a contract that had a very favorable rate. Our current rate is around 9 cents a kilowatt, which is still a very favorable rate, but it does generate quite an increase in our insurance for property and liability. Again, that's 5.14% or $17,913. And we did have reductions in those other categories that we just talked about. And that total reduction is $15,565. Next slide, sir. One of the things that was important to the board was to demonstrate, you know, what our town organizational chart looks like and about how many people are working in each department. And that information was important for them to share with the public. So that's why this slide is in our slide deck tonight and will be part of the information that's posted online. Next slide, sir. So these are our projected revenues from property taxes, $19,638,553, motor vehicle supplemental, $1,824,11, prior year's taxes, $85,000, interest and fees on property tax, $65,000, other revenues, $2,905,842, and state and federal grants, another $2,749,304, for a total projected revenue of $27,264,110. Next slide. And here's the town capital proposals. And this is, I will tell you, the finance committee really wrestled with this. There was a lot of information that came before the committee for consideration and capital proposals. And the things that are left in this capital budget for the town are things that they really felt needed to be in here based on a number of things. So the assessor's reevaluation, we budget a little bit every year so that when the reevaluation comes due, we don't have a giant bill. The firehouse roof is in need of replacement. And that really, they felt that needed to stay in the budget. The fire department is asking for battery operated devices for, you know, automobile rescue. So that is one of the things that our fire department unfortunately has to do an awful lot with Route 6, Route 384. And unfortunately we have quite a few serious accidents that require extrication on Camp Meeting Road. And this would make that operation more efficient and much faster. And hopefully we'll be able to have better outcomes for the individuals who are trapped in motor vehicles. The town did enter into a lease purchase agreement for an excavator. That $40,100 is our annual payments on that. $110,000 for a dump truck, which is a plow truck replacement. It's at the end of its life. We are looking to fund half of it in this year's budget, half of it in next year's budget. We have a senior center minivan, which is in need of replacement. You might say, well, how can you replace a van for $55,000? We already do have an ARPA grant of around $15,000, which is going to be applied to that. We're also keeping our fingers crossed. We've applied for another grant that may cover the balance of that. And those of you who have come to town hall on a rainy day or after a rainy day, the doors don't open very well. It's a safety issue, and we'd like to replace the doors in town hall. The total cost of that is $20,000. We have a 14-year-old vehicle in our fleet here at the town hall that is in need of replacement. The replacement cost is $47,000. Our modular office building is a building that we put together for the use of the registrars of voters and our finance department when we started dismantling the Knoxville Municipal Center. And we have, and that is our annual lease payment of $53,000. The Heritage Trail grant, although we have a significant grant, we do have a match for that. And we are, you know, putting in $50,000 of that match in this year's budget. And we are very much in need of a new bridge at Lyman Road. And this $170,000 is half of the grant match. We've applied for that grant. We're not sure whether or not we've gotten it yet, We didn't want to be short-sighted and not include that half of the maximum this year in one year. Next slide.
So I just wanted a quick observation. It says town capital. This is really just Board of Selectmen, correct?
Board of Selectmen.
Yeah, because we originally had on this slide both the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen, and therefore it was accurate to say town. We didn't change the title on this, so the Board of Ed will be presenting their, you know, their portion of the asked for capital, you know, capital proposals.
And Jim, for the folks,
oh, there it is.
It's here, but for the total cost of the Lyman Road Bridge project is what?
About $1.8 million, and we applied for a grant that has an 80% match, rather than a state and local bridge grant, which would have a 50% match. The caveat to that is we also have to cover the engineering fees, which we covered in this year's budget by moving funds around.
And the bridge is cracking, correct?
The bridge is in need of replacement. It is in very poor condition. That's accurate. So we're keeping our fingers crossed and really hope we get this grant, because we don't want to saddle the taxpayers without them. Next slide, please.
And now we go to the Board of Ed.
Yeah, and I don't know if Kristen's going to share on this. I probably shouldn't.
I believe she is.
Would you like me to speak to it now?
Sure,
why not?
Okay, so you see the two, both center school and the high school HVAC assessments. That is a portion of the cost that is, a decision was made to put a portion of the cost in every year up until the fifth year, because that is now required by law for all schools to be done every 5 years. We just completed the assessment for both schools. So this is putting money towards the next time it needs to be done. We did phase one of the energy management system last summer. Because we are still operating on two systems, the new system and the old system in many parts of the building, we have experienced numerous issues with heating this year. And as a result, the request was to fully complete the entire project in order to not have those issues any longer. And we are in need of replacement of the district utility truck with plow. We have reached the end of the vehicle lifespan for this vehicle.
And just to quickly, you know, build on what you said, you know, Kristen, about how we're allocating part of the money every year. We've been trying to do that on a more regular basis, because this way the money is there, we're saving it, we're paying ourselves interest over time. Whereas if you wait until you need the money and then have to pop out a half million, then you're taking a half million out of, you know, the bank at that moment. So this is one of the things that we try to do. And it's another balancing act, because if you want to have less capital money now, then you pay for it more in the future. And some of this stuff, if you can start paying for it now, you don't have to take out bonds on it. And, you know, because when you take out bonds, you're paying the fees to, you know, get the bonds, you know, set up. There's a cost associated with that. And then you're paying interest to the bondholders. So this is part of the balancing act that we try to do, to try to pay ourselves as opposed to paying other people. So it's a hard thing.
Ross, I would just ask, could Jim or you speak to the past projection reallocation too, so everyone's clear what that is, because that's not a Board of Ed piece.
I'll let Jim talk.
So there were unexpended monies in the capital budget for other projects, and those projects have been completed. So that money has been put here as a reallocation, which reduces what would be the total ask of $1,118,700 to $1,069,016.
Do I speak to that? Part of that $49,000 that's being reallocated was projects that we were able to pay with the ARPA money.
That's also correct, yes.
And not have to spend it. So those that were already in capital reserve as money set aside already, we were able to put back in to put it towards other projects.
Thank you for adding that, Jill.
Next.
That completes our presentation.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Kristen Hecht, I believe you are up next.
So am I sharing or are you sharing, Ross? I sent it to you and Amanda.
Amanda said she's going to share.
Okay, so I'll wait for her to pull that up. But good evening, everybody. I apologize for not being there in person. I'm home recuperating from emergency foot surgery and cannot walk. So just wait for Amanda to start that. So this is the Board of Education's recommended FY26 budget. And I just want to remind everyone that the mission of the Bolton Public Schools is to inspire all students to grow as learners, individuals.
Sorry about that.
Are we okay?
No, it's just a technical issue on my part because I wasn't showing Amanda sharing her screen. So now we can go.
Okay. All right. And our vision is that all students in the Bolton Public Schools are empowered to embrace learning in a healthy mindset, continually build knowledge, develop skills, and become engaged global citizens. This is our strategic plan that goes through 2026. This is an overview pie chart of the expenditure plan for FY26 for a 4.63% increase, with proposed expenditures of $17,302,903. And you can see there how it's distributed. This is another way of looking at the distribution specifically in dollars. And you can see that it's salaries, benefits, and operations. And I, you know, will share with you that of that operations increase, $77,000 of that is simply electricity costs and the increase in that Jim spoke about. So the overview of the budget drivers for that increase, 71.64% are our contractual obligations for the people that we employ today and for their health benefits. Increased cost in the maintenance of operations for 26.62% and a small increase in special education of 1.74%. We begin the budget process with zero-based budgeting in round one. The teachers put forth budget requests to the teacher leaders. It's then shared with administrators. Reductions are done at that level. It's then presented to me. Reductions are done at that level. It's then presented to the Board of Education, where reductions were done at that level. This is just an overview of the area Board of Education requests for FY26, and you'll see the average for our area is 5.22%. These are our projected revenues from both federal and state grants, with our projected grant awards for $690,679. Just want to remind everyone that our choice monies are what are used to pay tuition for Bolton students who attend state magnet and agricultural schools. And currently we're projecting this total to be $140,000. These were our capital proposals, which we've discussed. Another item that was in there was the district handicap van replacement. And I believe that that was moved to next year by the Board of Selectmen. I leave this slide there just as a reminder for potential referendum items, that once items come off the bond list, and this is my last public hearing budget presentation. So I just keep that up there as just a reminder of the various things. We certainly, the roof at Bolton Center School needs to be replaced along with the original air handlers, along with the current rooftop AC units that provide AC to the main office, the nurse's office, some computer labs, and the library. But there's also a need for air conditioning in the classrooms. It's only getting warmer. It's not getting cooler. We still have on there the high school soccer field, a science lab upgrade at Bolton Center School, and a library remodel at Bolton Center School. This are the figures for our enrollment projections for next year. And you can see it's pretty stable. This is our Columbia enrollment and our projection for 25-26, along with their enrollment for this year, and the Columbia tuition monies that come in and how it's distributed based on that contract. Again, like the town, we're very proud of our accomplishments. This year, we had a very large lift and we implemented MTSS using data-focused systems and team-based decision-making to maximize student achievement and support students' social, emotional, and behavioral needs. We continue to focus on a positive school climate, including safe and caring classrooms, building relationships with students, and supporting the well-being of all of our staff. We've had embedded PD on K-5 reading programs, 6 to 8 student-led conferences, portfolios at Bolton High School, and pre-K to 12 ongoing review of curriculum and Atlas. We have managed technology infrastructure, which actually we share with the town with Novus, which supports our cybersecurity services and as well as training and has advanced our technology plan. We've continued with the BCS math coach to support the improvement of teachers, instructional practices in math, continued the use of Parent Square communication system, the expansion of BHS, UConn, and ECSU, ECE dual enrollment and AP courses, and at BCS, the implementation of CSDE required and approved K-5 reading programs, which we wrote for and received grants to implement.
And for those that are in the audience, can you let them know what MTSS is?
Yes, multi-tiered systems of support. Thank you.
And PD is professional development, correct?
Correct. This is all about our student engagement and service. We're very proud of the number of students that we have engaged in high school, in college level courses. We generated 364 college applications this year, which was amazing. We have numerous clubs and sports activities, arts programs, as well as community service programs that we participate in and provide as a service. We're very proud of our Veterans Day Assembly. It was exceptionally well attended again this year at Bolton Center School. And we have some great partnerships between our high school Family and Consumer Science and the Senior Center, as well as our Red Cross blood drives. These are just some picture reminders of why we do what we do. And these are some of the amazing and great things that are happening in our schools throughout the year. And our tagline, empower, build, develop, become. And again, this book, the Board of Education's budget request supports the strategic plan priorities, which include maintaining Bolton Public Schools as a high-performing school district, student success, a caring culture, talent development, and resource stewardship. Thank you.
I guess we will now entertain some, you know, comments from the public who are present in the room and the public who are present online. And I will invite you, if you are some of the people watching online, to raise a hand through Zoom, use the hand icon, and I will call on you. And when you are in this room or online, when you speak, please state your name and your address for the record, because even if we know you, Mary, our board clerk, may not know you, and it helps her with identifying people. And then that way we have the record of your input in addition, you know, to whatever notes we may be taking here. So I will open things to the public and just ask that you know, I'm not setting a time limit, but I want to make sure that everybody who wants to participate can. So if you can, try to keep it to about 2 minutes and, you know, and focus on your key points. But we'll open it up. Yes, Mary.
Mary Tune, 40 School Road.
Could you, Mary, could you hear her? As in, no.
Mary,
come up here.
You
might want to come up here because this is where the microphone is and it's easier.
Mary Tune, 40 School Road. And we're giving the presentation, the building and land use department, it was around 94,000 increase. Could you tell me, I know you said it was being offset and stuff, but could you tell me what that was generated by?
Salaries.
Okay.
For building officials.
Okay. Oh, a new, like a new, or that's their?
They're already employed because we're already providing the services.
So that was an increase though for the year.
Right, we're managing to do it within existing budget this fiscal year, but next year it's an increase.
Well, thank you.
Any other questions? Yes, Sandy Pirog.
Sandra Pirog.
Sandra, sorry. She's only Sandy in private. Sandra in public.
Anyways, somebody explained to me how the taxation of commercial vehicles has changed for this next fiscal year. I understand that they are no longer taxed as motor vehicles, but rather taxed as personal property. Does that mean that the motor vehicle tax rate applies to them, or does that mean that the overall real estate and personal property mill rate applies to them?
Kara's not here, but I believe it's the latter.
So if I'm hearing you correct, anyone who owns a commercial vehicle can expect to pay tax
at the real estate and personal property
level. At the real estate and personal property level, which is a change for this year and apt to be a large increase for a commercial vehicle owner.
Yes, depending on the valuation of their car. I don't know if the MSRP.
Can somebody explain to me what happens to the owner of a combination plate? Are they commercial or are they personal property?
We'd have to ask Kara.
We'd have to ask Kara. We can take that. Can you?
And
we're going to go check.
We're going to go check to see if the assessor is here, and perhaps she can answer if she is.
One comment about elections. As registrar of voters, along with Mr. Lally, the elections budget this year is down because we do not have a state or federal election. So early voting hours are down. We don't anticipate a primary, but we do have a municipal election this fall. So you will see on a going forward basis that the election budget is exactly, Bob, doing this as we go from local elections to state or federal elections.
And Sandy, correct me if I'm wrong.
Glad I'm not the only one who made that mistake and gets the head bitten off. Okay.
Others corrected me before she did. Is there an executive order out right now that could potentially result in increased required hours from the registrar of voters office to re-register existing voters?
Unfortunately, that is correct. There is a national executive order that is being challenged by several states that says you must prove your ability to vote in the US by providing your birth certificate. And your name on your birth certificate must match your voter registration. This is a totally personal comment. I'm stepping out of my role as registrar at the moment. I am a married woman. I've been a married woman very much longer than I was a single woman. My birth certificate contains my birth name. It does not contain my married name. So I will be hard pressed to prove that I am a legal US citizen.
But as it relates to the budget, I guess my point was, if we're forced to enact that, we have not budgeted time for the registrar of voters to do that in the budget for next
year. That is correct. And just to speak to the work that it would entail having to send letters out to every registered voter in town and explain to them what the new requirements are. These would have to go through the Secretary of State. She and her staff would then, you know, assuming it goes forward, would then provide the regs that we have to follow. But it would be safe to say that we would have to ask all voters to come in person with, you know, with actual documents like passports, birth certificates, and so forth to prove their United States citizenship. And I imagine this would require more time for the registrars to set up appointments to do this, because it's not going to be one and done for a lot of people who will not understand the requirements, and we may not either. And then there's also some requirements too that have not been cleared up yet about possibly needing to use several federal databases like those of the IRS and possibly
education,
Homeland Security, where you get charged $1.50 per request.
Not the forum for it.
So whoever's in the background, could you?
It's wrong. Most of women not be able to vote.
I don't know how they wrote that.
I'm going to mute Ron again, and I'm not forgetting you, but I'm going to get you as soon as the other people are done.
Just question.
Just Mr. Mora.
But does the your license, with the star on it, to get that, you had to go through that same process?
That isn't in the current executive order. It says the only document that counts is your birth certificate.
Okay, thank you.
I have written, again, I'm out of my registered voters. I have written to senators of my political party asking them to also accept a marriage certificate as proof.
Sure.
Yeah.
But as right now, it says birth certificate is the only valid document.
So I'll summarize by saying it will be more work that's not covered in this year's budget, and it is not covered in next year's budget.
Right. Yeah.
So so the registrars have not been able to supply any information about, say, any leftover monies in their budget, because we are waiting to hear what the Secretary of State says we need to do and what the time frame is. So
the potential liability that we might have to find funds to cover next year is all I'm trying to.
It's just another liability, like some of the other things that we've talked about.
I want to consider that in your contingency.
Right. Yep. So, okay, let me go on to Ron. I will unmute you now, sir. There is unmute on here.
I got muted.
Yes.
How's that?
Yeah, unmute yourself. There you go.
I did.
And then you can put your hand down, too, so I don't keep coming back to you unless you really want me to. So if you could just state your full name and your address, please.
Ronald Carboni, 15 Birch Mountain Road Extension. Just a simple question for the Board of Ed. What is the current ranking of Bolton Center School and Bolton High School? And how does it compare to what it was 20 years ago?
I don't know what ranking you would be referring to. I can share with you that Bolton High School just recently received an award from the state of Connecticut based on metrics for students in the top 1 or 2% of high schools in the state of Connecticut for last year.
And how?
US News and World Report ranked schools.
I'm getting some information. US News and World ranked schools.
I don't have that information handy.
And where were we 20 years ago?
I have no idea.
Are we showing any improvement or any decrease? Just looking to find out what our assessment of our education performance. And we've had our children go through the school, and that's the reason for asking. Mm-hmm. And we see a difference between then and now. So we wonder what the education department looks at to assess how we're doing.
Yeah, so the education department does not provide that data to the U.S. News and World Report. And some of that data generated by U.S. News and World Report is generated by the number of students who take college level courses in any given year and pass AP exams for the high school in particular. But again, like I shared, we ranked in the top 1 or 2% in the state of Connecticut for our high school. for last year as a metric done by the State Department of Education against other high schools in the state of Connecticut.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, sir. Any other questions in the room or online?
Over there.
Our first selectman.
Ron Fournier, Four Hanover Farm Road. The answer to Sandy's questions, according to our
Sandra.
Tax assessor.
Sandra!
Despite the fact that we're neighbors.
there is no effect on the plates of a vehicle. They're all taxed as motor vehicles. And the only difference would be a convoluted scenario where you change the body of your truck and you depreciate it on your personal property taxes, which that's a convoluted scenario. So unless there's something the tax assessor doesn't know, that's, he said there's no difference. Everything's taxed at the motor vehicle rate.
Even commercial?
Even commercial in combination.
Cars, yeah, they're all.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not what I was told by the Branford assessor, but I'll continue to follow up. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other comments online or in the room? I'm going to ask three times. That was number one. Any further comments online or in the room? And three, any further comments online or in the room? And seeing nobody jumping up either in the room or online, I will close our public hearing at 8:07.